For your digital download pleasure, it's Tim and Davo in podcast form.
In the lead up to Christmas, I would have been on the naughty list. I wasn't being my best self, and I was on air with you basically just being horrible about my mum serving nothing but cold meats for Christmas.
So you found out, what, maybe 2 weeks before Christmas, and then I would say we averaged talking about that 1.4 times a day in the lead up to it. You would bring it up on the show that you were unhappy that there were no heated meats.
I was driving 10 hours to go see this lady, my dear mother. And like, if you want to hear the attitude I had about it before Christmas, it was this. And my mum has ruined Christmas.
Okay, pre-ruined. Pre-ruined Christmas.
I was pretty upset because I said there's three pillars to Christmas. You've got your family, you've got your gift giving, and you've got the food.
You were shaking on the first two.
Family not great in my household. It was actually all right. The Christmas day was all right, but it could have gone worse. Presents we don't do, so we're like, whatever. And then I was like, the food is what's holding, the glue that's holding this day together.
Yeah, and it's important for a lot of people. Like we had on our Christmas, we had a massive breakfast, a massive lunch, and a massive dinner. And every time I put a warm meat in my mouth, I was thinking of you, David. I was like, wow, I didn't realize how lucky I am.
Well, look, you know, I was being a brat and I deserve what happened to me, my friend.
What happened to you, mate?
Well, I was driving back. So obviously I took the Great Ocean Road back, which was beautiful. And then I sort of, on the second day drive, I was heading straight to my mate's house. Her name's Rebecca and she's incredible. And I get there and she's like, you know what I've got for you? You're going to be so happy. I've cooked you a lamb roast.
She cooked you. Did she hear that you were kicking up a fuss that you were getting cold meats on Christmas?
She knew I wasn't happy about the cold meat situation. And so she thought, well, we're having a gathering and I'm making sure Davo gets her warm
piping
meat
hot
Christmas.
Meat.
Cold meat Christmas. You don't have to worry about it, babe, because you're getting your warm meat. So, this lamb, Tim, yum, 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 yum. It was delicious, perfectly seasoned, perfectly cooked, slow cooked.
Ugh. Wow. Mate, I'm jealous.
Nothing but pure joy. Went to bed, woke up in the morning. Oh, tummy's a bit sore. What's going on here? I had the spews, mate. I was spewing up.
Karma. So top end only?
Both.
Oh, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, absolute nightmare sort of gear. And I deserved every second of that sickness because I was so rude about my mum on this show.
Is there a chance? Now, I don't want to, you know, I'm not, if I was a detective, they would tell you not to do this, trying to connect two cases. Is there a chance that your mum got wind that you were being served warm meat at your friend's?
What, do you reckon she pulled an Aaron Patterson on me?
I think she's gone, well, you know, absolutely, I'll be having none of that. My daughter's been talking publicly about how I'm only serving her cold meats for 2 weeks on a quite large radio show in Geelong. So I will go over and I will poison the meat. Yeah. Nothing serious, but, you know, just enough to get her spewing and pooing.
Nah, and look, like I said, I deserved it. So I just wanted to say I got my own. I deserved every second of it. And karma will get you.
Yep. All right. Keep your mouth shut. Tim and Davo. I was having a chat with a mate the other day, and it's one of those conversations where you go, you think you've been doing something the only or correct way your whole life, and then someone says, hey, I do this and I do it differently, and you go, I never even thought about that.
Yeah.
But then I go, hang on, have I been doing something the wrong way? Mm-hmm. Am I the one that's doing it silly? Like, am I the fool here? I want to talk about toilet air fresheners.
Okay.
Like the sprays.
Yeah.
So I was chatting to someone and they were saying like, oh yeah, like I went into the bathroom and someone had just done something hideous in there. Like it was all flushed, but like just reeked. And he got the air freshener and he's like, yeah, so, and then, you know, I sprayed it into the bowl, all good. And I said, into the bowl?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, that's what you do with toilet air freshener. You face it down into the bowl. And I was like,
into the air.
Into the up. I go up, I don't go down with an air freshener.
You know what? Saying that, I reckon I used to go into the bowl. with like, but now I haven't done that for years. That's just triggered something in my brain, but I've never, no,
I'm just worried
for a very long time that there's no need to do that, right?
I'm just worried that if you spray it down into the bowl, is it combining more with whatever else is down there and fusing to make this weird good bad smell? Trying to solve a problem here.
I understand why you didn't bring this up with me beforehand, because you know I hate talking about this gear. Look, yeah, I'm definitely in the air, son.
Phil Collins situation.
In the air tonight, for sure.
Because that's where your nose is.
Yeah.
And it you know, it settles down. You get the relief of whatever the bat, whether the odor is. Like, it's an up spray thing. Like, I haven't had time since to look at a toilet air freshener can and look at the directional views.
No, but it is on the top of it, and it does sort of allow to think that maybe it is going to be pointed somewhere. Or is that the side of it? Are you meant to sort of leave it where it is and just sort of press the side of it as a button situation, like a light switch?
The way I've been thinking about it is, you know how some workplaces or some shops, they'll have an auto freshener in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's never facing in the bowl, Davo.
No.
It's always up on a wall. Up
ain't
in
that
the air.
Truth. Well, your friends are numpty. Is there anyone else that does it into the bowl? Surely not.
Well, this is what I wanted to do on 52232955. Happy to learn a little bit about everyone here. Is it like, do you spray in the bowl? Because again, maybe you and I are in the minority. And this is the thing, when you learn, you go, oh, no, me and my mates, we do it this way. And you go, oh, no one's doing that, guys. You are doing that wrong. We need to know.
Yeah.
We need to know. Do you spray the toilet bowl or do you spray it in the air with these air fresheners? Because if I'm doing it wrong, I have to stop. I need to do what the right thing is, Dave.
It's our first show of the year, bro.
I know. And I want to get to the bottom of this. Steph from Armstrong Creek, are you a bowl sprayer?
Yeah, for sure. It's like so much more discreet.
So it's, and I guess, like, are you not a fan of the particles drifting back down onto you?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say to you. Don't you feel like when you put it in the air, it just, like, it's on your skin and you can feel it? Like, you're putting it on yourself? I don't want to smell like toilet spray.
No, that's very true.
I'm worried about all these great points you're bringing up.
You can tell when someone has used toilet spray, can't you? On them.
Yeah, it's like a whole thing. Like, it just hits you in the face when you walk in. But just, like, a little spritz in the toilet bowl and you're all good to go.
Yeah, because we are sometimes treating it like an impulse spray from the 2000s. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't be using that as your own personal scent.
Because, Steph, are you worried about the original particles forming with the air freshener to create its own unique, weird, like, frangipani but toilet smell?
No.
No, because I think if you do it in the bowl quick enough and then flush it and shut it, we're all good. Like, it doesn't have to be a thing.
It's a speedy sitch.
You are not mucking around. Because my my wife the other week, this might be a bit TMI.
Oh, great.
I had an upset tummy and my wife was like, that's foul. And she went to grab my cologne to spray it. And I was like, no, you'll never smell me the same again.
No.
If you combine those scents.
You don't want to be combining scents. That's why I don't want it on my skin.
It's a great point, Steph. And actually, I think I might be changing the way I move forward.
I'm going to give it a go.
Yeah, just give it a go.
We'll go to the toilets in the news and we'll let you know how it works.
This is Tim and Davo, the podcast.
I think you're either into these or you're not. I want to talk about public proposals.
Okay.
One took place in Brisbane last week at a festival. The reason I'm going to give as little information as possible, because it's either a great marketing technique or one of the saddest things you'll ever hear in your life.
Oh, no.
So there was this festival in Brisbane, you know, celebrating summer. It had some local acts, had some acts from around the country and overseas. And this band was playing and they stopped their set. This guy gets up on stage with the microphone from the lead singer and he's like, I want to invite my beautiful girlfriend up on the stage. We met 3 years ago.
The
lead singer passed it over to a punter.
Oh, okay.
And so the punter's got the microphone now and he's like, I want to invite my girlfriend onto the stage. We met at this festival 3 years ago while this band was playing. So it only feels right to get down on one knee and ask you this question. And as he's doing this, she's shaking her head.
Oh, no. She's going, no, Paul.
And he goes, will you marry me? You know, that's a big question to ask. It's that next step of some people's lives. And she just, it goes from a no to a then she's off stage. And he's just left there sitting on one knee.
Soul crushing.
But this is when I go, all right. People are going, this is brutal. This is one of the most devastating things I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
When she walks off stage, he gets up and goes, well, you know, I guess I'm brokenhearted. And then the lead singer's like, that's the name of our new album coming out in a few weeks. And
oh, they start playing some songs. Okay. And then he whips out a Coca-Cola, gets that on the camera.
Kendall Jenner's
winks,
there.
Yeah.
But the idea of a public proposal, because I think it's a marketing thing for this band.
Okay.
And good on them, because it got me talking about it last week. Mm-hmm. But
haven't you mentioned the band
name?
Yeah,
I'm not giving it to them twice. I talked about it last week. I'm not doing it again. I want to talk about the idea of a public proposal.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
You definitely would would know your partner well enough to know if they're into that or not into that. My wife, I know from maybe a week after meeting her, that's not something that I think she would have been into.
No, absolutely. I mean, particularly I know if we think this is a hoax or whatever, but that couple would have had those conversations behind closed doors for many, many months beforehand. You're not just, it's not like the olden days where it's such a surprise to propose to someone, right?
Exactly. It's because it's kind of like if you're in that phase of your relationship, mm-hmm. like, yes, in the moment it's like, oh, it's happening now, but it's not like, you want to marry me? What's going on here?
I think that putting the public involved in that, a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Maybe is it, do you think it's a last ditch effort for someone who goes, I don't know what they're going to say. I'll do it in public.
Because that's the sort of pretense you want someone to accept to marry you with.
But some people, when they're faced with maybe losing somebody, a grand gesture and a proposal is something that I think can come to mind. How do you feel about public proposals in general? Like seeing them, like if you were being proposed to, would you want it to be a public proposal?
Look, I got proposed to in Paris in public. It wasn't there wasn't a crowd around, but it was kind of like in an open space, a lot of people around.
Yeah. But it wasn't like there was a busker and halfway through the show they stopped and, you know, they got down on one knee.
Yeah, no.
So you're in a public place, but it wouldn't be a public proposal.
I wouldn't like a public proposal.
Yeah, 100%.
There's no way.
52232955. Were you involved in one? Did your partner propose to you like in a grand, like at a restaurant where there was people involved? It was a giant thing.
Maybe a kiss cam involved.
Ooh, oh, I love. I've been involved with one working for the Geelong Football Club.
Ooh. So
one of the supporters did one right before the team ran out. He got it all organised. And we all knew beforehand, but it was all on the run sheet as just pizza because we couldn't talk about the proposal.
Very so
it's just like, what time's the pizza getting arrived? Does the pizza know? Like all these kind of things. And she said yes. But I've been thinking about that.
Did she really want to?
52232955. Were you involved in a public proposal? We have had Marnie from Belmont give us a call. Marnie, were you involved in a public proposal or how do you feel about them?
Thank God I wasn't. I couldn't think of anything worse.
Yeah, it would be horrific.
My husband wanted to propose in a restaurant. He even spoke with the bar staff and told them what he wanted to do. And then we're sitting at the table at dinner maybe a couple of hours later and he starts hinting at it. Oh, and my anxiety, I was like, no, please don't.
No.
I was like, I need the toilet. And so I went to the toilet and thankfully we were there with best friends and she's like, do not do it in here.
Wow.
And so we did it. He did it on a little pier that was nicely lit up with just the four of us, which was perfect.
I've got no doubt. But your poor husband, the effort he would have gone into it, he would have thought this was going to be so special for you. Where did he get the idea to do this in the first place?
I don't even know, to be honest.
It
was in Mildura of all places.
It's outrageous.
Yep. So we were going out for dinner and we found a place. We're like, yeah, we'll go here. And he just went in, said he was going to chat with them and find out what they were about. And then I was like, oh, God, I know what's coming.
So did you say he did it? So he pivoted. He proposed, from what it sounded like, was along the Murray River and in Mildura, in your words, of all places. So how glad are you? That's why I said in your words, not mine.
No, of course.
How glad are you that he pivoted and didn't do it in front of everybody at this restaurant?
I was so much happier that it was just the four of us in a nice, quiet place
Yeah,
it was a lot better. In Mildura, it was at least really pretty, so I'll take it.
Oh, beautiful.
It's a beautiful place.
It is. Marnie, if he had gone ahead with the big grand proposal, what would you have said?
Honestly, I probably would have just said that yes that quickly because I would have been freaking out.
Yep, shut up.
Yeah, I do. I love you. You're my loyal.
Yes.
Well,
that's amazing.
I knew it would have been coming for a long time, so I had time to prepare and I knew what the answer was going to be. But, yeah, I feel like it would have been a quick yes, but it could have been anything.
Well, we're all out of internet. Until next time, this has been Tim and Davo.